This week on Rain on Your Parade, I talk about how big a fan of Madonna I am. So even though I'm being positive, I guess we're going to rain on the parade of Madonna haters.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan. What are the odds? Here, as always, with producer, friend, I'm trying to think of a third term to throw on your business card for the show. Mike.
Guy with big cock.
Sure. Coxman. Producer, friend, Coxman.
That's right. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, audience? Happy to be here.
Yeah, we talked for like 45 minutes off mic, so our banter is going to be lacking, I think, today.
Well, it was all very emotional stuff, very heavy stuff. We were going deep.
Yeah,
into
we
the
blew
JL
our
Cobain
banter stuff. Load out of Mike's big cock. So, I'm going to get right into it. I'm excited this week. I didn't expect to be excited. I saw Madonna last night at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And the first question everybody asked me, because apparently I give off big douchebag homophobe energy. What are you doing at a Madonna concert, JL?
Is this a slight at me?
No.
Because I asked when you came in.
You are double-digit people have just been like, Madonna?
Yeah.
And sure. I'm like, yeah. Ever heard of her?
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal. She is, I think, I would put her in my lifetime, started in 1979. Would I be wrong to say second biggest music artist after Michael Jackson? When you count sales, hits, influence, I think she's as influential as they come.
I'm trying to think if there's another name. I don't think it's definitely not a crazy thing to say.
Right.
I mean, she's in the conversation, if not like confirmed.
And not just saying like, yes, there'll be people who say Prince. And I go, no,
she's bigger than Prince.
Right. Thank you.
Prince has a couple big albums and then fades into like his war with Warner Brothers.
Right. And you can say this isn't even a question of just, musical talent. It's the total package.
Yes. It's impact.
Yeah, yeah, I think she is right after Michael Jackson in the, courted controversy in a real way. If that's a was a boundary pushing artist in a real way, and a great artist.
Yeah,
I mean, so I got these tickets a year ago.
Would you put Whitney Houston in
on the
Madonna's
talent
probably
scale, sure,
still
but
bigger,
no,
right?
not nearly,
right.
Not nearly as big in because Madonna is huge as a music artist, maybe even bigger, not bigger, but almost basically as big in terms of a pushing boundaries, creating controversy, like other than like gangster rap.
I was gonna say either Jay-Z or Eminem, maybe,
but I don't know if maybe Eminem, but in terms of, I would say like Death Row Records pushed boundaries and expanded like sort of a very violent,
yes,
homophobic and misogynist brand of music, but
yeah,
into the mainstream and no.
Yeah, no, I'm laughing because
I like
true.
The music, but it's also
yes.
true.
Yes.
But as far as Madonna, I think Britney Spears also honestly in a weird way belongs
yes.
in a lower tier. She made it okay to lust for 16-year-olds. Thanks, Britney. We call that the Epstein thank you. But without Madonna, it's like Britney Spears is like a child of Madonna.
And I think Madonna's music is also more impactful than Britney's.
Yes,
I think Britney as a cultural icon is probably close to the same level. But I think Madonna, like you said, cut through more red tape with the sexuality, kind of being like a sexual pop star outside of just
and
the
so
music.
Hot.
Like, yeah, had humongous hits.
Right. No. I think it's sometimes lost how much she is like a 10 out of 10 across the board because, I sometimes forget like, she was like smoking hot, but she was such a newsmaker and a hit maker that you weren't just like, oh man, she's like smoking hot.
Yeah.
And she's, and when they say reinventing yourself, like David Bowie reinvented himself several times as an artist. And I think Madonna is like that level of reinvention where it's like, she's not just grasping for a sound. It's like, you're making hits. Like when you go through her, you got her 80s, her early 80s, Material Girl. Let me give you my five favorite Madonna songs.
Please.
Right now. from different, and they're from different.
I
areas.
Actually, until you came in here and wanted to talk about this today. Now I'm very invested in this. I have a lot to say about Madonna.
There's a chance this could be the episode.
Yeah,
there's a chance. Material Girl,
great song,
love it. Like a Prayer,
yep.
Arguably her best. Arguably, in a weird way, her best. Like overall, like I had a joke early in my comedy career where it's like, if you're about to hook up with a girl at a club, you better get it done before Like a Prayer comes on, because that's when all her friends have to run to the center of a dance floor.
Like a Prayer is life is.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought.
And that Mystery. Is, I'm in law school 14 years, 13 years after that song was a hit.
Uh-huh.
And it still was just like.
Dude, yeah, totally. 100%. Because I want to give my account of how I remember Madonna from childhood, because it's a little bit of a gap. But I'm flagging that.
Like in her teeth.
Yes.
La Isla Bonita.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm just giving my.
That's the Evita era, right?
No, 80s.
Okay.
Pre Evita.
Got it.
You look it up later.
I know some.
She played a great stripped down version last night that really worked.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Hung Up is the most recent. Of like the songs, just great, and sounded great live.
Yeah.
And I gave as my fifth choice, that was the toughest one, I'd say Express Yourself.
Express Yourself's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
She did a very somber Express Yourself last night, which did sound great, but I would have preferred to hear the big version.
Yeah.
But this woman, I mean, she is, so to answer the question, first off, why I went is, I saw Elton John last year. That was like a big gift for Laura because we had to cancel so many pandemic concerts that I was like, or it might have been 2022. We went to the Prudential Center, which, by the way, having been in the, we've talked about Prudential Center
we've
being a piece of shit.
On it many times, yeah.
But being in the floor seats for Madonna, we'll get to that in a second. Baller alert. The Delta Lounge. Oh my God, they should fucking demolish the Prudential Center.
It's awful. Yeah.
I had floor seats for Elton John that were more expensive than my floor seats for Madonna.
Yeah.
Which were fucking expensive.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're going in the back with like the loading trucks.
Yeah.
And there's like a concession stand with pretzels and hot dogs and then you're at your seats. It's like, this is what, sorry everybody, $800 a ticket gets me for Elton John's farewell concert.
Yeah.
I fucking walk by the porta potties
and the
guys, the union guys loading equipment. And it's like, oh, wasn't what a VIP entrance.
The tagline for the Prudential Center should be good enough for Jersey.
I don't know. You know what? As an adopted son of New Jersey, and I've paid probably more taxes in New Jersey because of my success than I've ever paid anywhere else.
Yeah.
You deserve better, Jersey. I'm going
to
give you that.
But this is what we've talked about before. And to bring it up again, it's just like that and MetLife and like the old Continental Airlines Arena and IZOD, all those places where basically you can go see shows in Jersey or were able to at some point. They were all kind of shitty.
Right.
At best.
Have you ever been to NJ PAC?
Is that the one in New Brunswick?
No, Newark. It's like.
Newark. I've been to the. Whatever the State Theater, I guess, is in New Brunswick. That one's all right.
Okay.
But they're just like, they're even like Count Basie, like all these places, they're fine.
Right.
They're not, but they're, you go to these venues in the city in New York and it's like the Beacon, the Garden.
NJ PAC is fucking beautiful. It's also new. It's relatively new.
Yeah.
NJ PAC is beautiful. And it's like their big theater seats like 2,800.
Yeah.
Or 3,000, and their small theater is like 550. I've seen like Goldman perform in the small theater. It's NJ PAC is the only venue that I've seen in Jersey where I'm like, oh, this should be your flagship venue. You should just do this for 20,000 people.
Yeah, right.
But the lounge, the Delta Lounge that I walked in, like we went up to the fucking ticket taker and we're like, this says section A through F, we're section K. Can we come here? And he was like, right this way, sir. I was like, oh, like we definitely looked like fucking yokels. Like, we're in with the rich folk now.
Yeah.
And we walked through and I noticed a high level of douchebaggery in the, you know, because this isn't just like a Knicks game where you might have like rich guys of all walks of life.
Yeah.
This is I'm here to be seen.
Right.
I've got my designer clothes on. I'm wearing fucking goggles inside. I sent you that picture of a guy who looked like Bruno fucked Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
I saw, and like we were online for t-shirts. She wanted a t-shirt. This was sort of about, you know, a gift to Laura,
right?
The whole thing. And so you want a t-shirt? She's like, yeah. So we get online for the t-shirt, but we don't know what we want. So I let this couple go ahead. And I made, like, you know, one of those little pithy lines, like, oh, we don't know what we're getting. You go ahead. Yeah. Not a thank you, not a, oh, okay. Just they slunk by. And he was like, definitely.
JL just looking for issue to take.
Yeah, well, it's what I do. I take issues. Because one of my big pet peeves is obviously the loss of common courtesy and niceties.
It's just everything. It's
but he just
slight.
Slunk past me. And I was like, oh, you're rich.
Yeah.
Because your woman is smoking.
Yeah.
And you're a fucking weasel with speaking problems.
Right.
But I looked at her and she was like super done up, but really, you know, Nicole Scherzinger type hot.
Yeah.
And then I looked in her pants with these big ripped baggy things. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the people who have like bought the emperor's new clothes in terms of fashion.
This is a perfect storm of
things
of rain on your parade. It's like bad manners, fashion, the Izod Center or the Rock. Like we're literally going.
No, but it wasn't there.
We're shitting on it.
But all I could say is as we were walking to the lounge, I said to Laura, I was like, remember? Remember Prudential?
Yeah.
Remember what a piece of shit that place is? How much worse it was. Yeah. And this is like, and that's why MSG is great, because it was like, yes, I paid a lot of money for these tickets, but it was less money than Elton John. And I'm feeling like I am getting I'm getting the experience of an expensive ticket.
Right.
So we go in and I saw multiple comedians some either didn't recognize me or see me. Sarah Cooper walked by me with her entourage of friends. Big Jay Oakerson was there with his daughter and they walked by, like, he doesn't know me from shit, but I was like, but I didn't want to do the thing. It would be bad for both of us because I'd be like, Big Jay Oakerson. And he'd just go, hey man. Like he'd just assume I'm a fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he'd probably feel good about himself. I'd feel terrible. So to save face, I would go, no, I'm a comedian, dude. Like I'm doing pretty well. As you can see, expensive tickets, just like you, bro.
Yeah.
And then he would feel downgraded. Like I thought a fan like called me out, but it was just some comedian. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Right.
Early in my career, I remember somebody said, you're a comedian, right? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, you're funny. I'm a comedian too. And I was like, get out of my face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were a stranger who was acknowledging my greatness. So we go in. I did see a tremendous amount of douchebaggery.
Yeah.
Like it's just a very like, I'm there to see Madonna. I'm not there for Madonna to see me.
Right. Sure.
So I go in my normal getup of unfashionable clothes, and it started late, but like people keep complaining about the starting late, but I'm like, what concert? It's an 8:30 concert. Usually concerts will have an opening act or something. So it's like 8:30 for Guns N' Roses, even when they're on time, doesn't mean Guns N' Roses starting at 8:30.
Yeah.
And so it started at 9:38, which was her earliest start time of all this. So respect.
Yeah.
It was the earliest start
time. It's New York.
Well, but the night before it started at like 9:55. Uh-huh. So we had an almost 20-minute jump on the first show.
Wow.
And Bob the drag queen introduced Madonna. He was like the MC for the show. Tremendous.
Yeah. Very funny.
Just tremendous energy. All the costume changes. Like, and Laura was like, you know, she has friends and she likes the drag race, RuPaul's drag race. Mm-hmm. So she's been to like bars where they're having like drag race things. And she's been like, it was so weird. Like I've been in a bar where Bob the drag queen was like emceeing, and now he's walking past us to get on stage and like master of ceremonies for Madonna.
Did he do stand up or he just kind of like
no?
Out there
it was just
around?
Like they kind of got into the shit. He came out in like a big Victorian sort of dress, and I don't think the tits were real. And
what makes you say that?
I don't know. I have an eye. I have an eye for authenticity.
Yeah,
and. Got up and did the kind of like, let's go, bitches. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was throughout the show, the outfit changes, the energy, where I was like, Bob the drag queen is fucking legit.
Dude, you want to talk about crowd work clips and people who like put out crowd. High level Instagram crowd work clips that are very funny.
You know what I want to see now?
What?
Matt Rife become Matt the drag queen. Step up your crowd work.
Rife could not hold a candle to Bob the drag queen. I think Bob the drag queen's very, very funny.
It was
very funny. Drag queens in general, I got to be honest, are funnier than a lot of comedians I know.
Right.
Because they are malicious. They were like, go for the fucking throat. And they're for a certain audience, but man, they kill when they are on, man.
Right. And, but like, so what was interesting is to self plug, Drapedomaniacs, which is a hit Black History podcast that I was lucky enough to be a voice for one of the episodes. I barely qualified, but I did.
Yes.
And I listened to the whole season, and Bob the Drag Queen was a voice in one of the, and very funny. Like, they definitely either wrote or let him write, because it was very just delivered in that,
You
know, that lexicon of, and I heard the term for the second time, serving cunt. And it would have thrown me off, but for when I was in LA, I was on stage and I was joking about my shitty clothes, which I often call the Suge Knight Couture collection. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I'm serving looks, right? No, I don't serve looks. Bullshit. And this woman said, you're serving cunt. And I said, huh? And obviously I've never felt older in my life, but I was like, this can't be a thing. Serving cunt has to be an insult, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, it's a good thing. And I was like, serving cunt. I normally don't say cunt this much on the show or on stage, but I was like, serving. And we might have to like beat that for YouTube, or I won't be able to sponsor it, get ads, whatever.
Do we?
No, usually we're fine because F, but the C word might be like,
we'll do some investigating. Okay. I'll find out.
If I can't, it will just mean I can't get ad revenue for that. It's fine. But the point is, once I heard Bob say it, I was like, oh, okay, there's that phrase. I guess I shouldn't have called that woman out for 5 minutes while repeating the word on stage.
Sure.
If it's a thing.
Yeah.
But it was just another one of those, like, so I've seen comics I know pass me on. Now I'm just 300 feet from the master of ceremonies, but we unknowingly did a project together.
Yeah.
and then Amy Schumer, who I used to do open mics and bringers with, comes on during the Vogue segment of the show. So I was like, wow, all these people close to me, yet very far from me. Classic JL evening at Madison Square Garden. So the show, I was ready for Madonna. I saw Elton John, like I said, in 2022, farewell tour. Couldn't hit the high notes. Still brought energy. He wasn't catatonic. He was energetic. He was fine on the low notes.
But a lot of sitting.
A lot of sitting and Like, oh, are you imitating Elton John? Is Elton John imitating Elton John right now?
It's a lot of bends in the lower register.
He didn't do Can You Feel the Love Tonight. I feel like that's because it's Disney, but that is a great song.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like it's kind of like, I'm not doing the Disney song. Well, won you an Oscar, you EGOT queen? I'm sorry. I felt like I could talk like that because of the night I spent.
Yeah, you're a super ally now.
I'm really
now
serving cunt.
Seen Bob the Drag Queen in person.
Right, like instead of like white dudes who like hang around black dudes and all of a sudden let an N-word slip, they're like, shit, sorry. I'm like just dropping like ballroom slang. Yes!
Yeah.
But this show was fucking awesome. I was prepared for her to be like, okay, they've been mocking Madonna a little bit. Oh, she had the face surgery. First of all, yes, those photos must have been from like pre, you know, like right after a surgery or something.
Yeah.
She looks great. She's 65. The energy, the vocals, the look, the fitness, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like 65. I cannot believe that. I joked with Laura during the show. I said, does she have a body double?
Yeah.
Like we're close enough though. We can tell if it's her. But I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then this video, when her tour started or resumed after her illness, there's a scene, people are posting a photo of her in like this like futuristic outfit when she's doing Ray of Light. And she's like holding on.
I like that song too.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
She's holding on to like a grab bar and people were making fun of it. Like, oh, look at Granny. Jeez, Madonna, hang it up. It's because she was in a fucking elevated thing above the crowd.
Yeah, right.
But you couldn't tell from the video people were sharing. It looked
people
like
in the crowd couldn't have been saying that, though, right?
No, but like somebody posts it to social media, like in a way that you can't tell she's elevator. You just think she's on stage, like holding herself up.
Right.
It's like, oh, what a disgrace. And I was like, what an asshole to like share that, because it's like, but you know, if the game is clicks, if the game is clicks,
right.
Shitting on Madonna with a video that looks like she's like can't stand up or is like needs a bar for support will go viral.
Right.
But she was incredible. The vocals were great. The performance was great. And the funniest thing was Hung Up was great. Like if I'm, you know, La Isla Bonita and Hung Up were two of my five songs, and those were phenomenal in terms of the performance. Vogue was A++, because they, of course, they had the catwalk, which I was near, as I referred to it, as the stage penis.
Yeah.
I was near the head of the stage penis. I didn't realize we were that close because I didn't know there was a catwalk.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, we're on the floor. We're like towards the back floor, but we were actually very close to the front of the catwalk.
Yeah.
So Amy Schumer came on stage to like judge with her because they're friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching and I'm going, I never liked the show Pose. I didn't think it was a particularly good show, but that was just my opinion. I have never had a reason or an interest in like ballroom culture or anything. I'm aware of it because of how it gained popularity and how so many people stole the slang from it into common language. But I was watching it like giddy. Because, I mean, Bob the drag queen just MC, like he was saying whatever the fucking words are, but I was like mesmerized. Yeah. I was like, yes, whatever the fuck this is, yes.
Have you not been to like drag shows or anything before?
No, I'm a Christian.
Buddy, I got to tell
I'm kidding.
They are fun.
Well, no, what I realized, I said to Laura, I was like, here's my dilemma. This, I just saw a drag, basically the equivalent of like a ballroom drag show.
Yeah.
But at a Madonna concert to Vogue. So
right.
I've definitely just seen the best it's going to be.
Right.
Like no shade to anybody out there. I just saw the people who qualified to be tour dancers with Madonna to Vogue with Bob the drag queen emceeing in MSG.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think if I may be disappointed if I'm like, oh, where's the new show?
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll just be like, I mean, this is fine.
Yeah.
My first time seeing this was a little better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the dancing, the athleticism, the the like pulsating energy, and it's Vogue. And it's fucking Vogue live while you're watching it. And then her daughter came out. Like her young daughter is like a dancer and fucking killed it.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at that going, my knees hurt.
Yeah.
Watching you, my knees are now hurting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was incredible. I left there like, and for Laura, she was like, you know, I'm not Mr. Toxic Masculinity guy, but I'm still just a typical man, I guess.
Yeah.
And she was like, I was so surprised you like that. And I just said, I was watching greatness.
Right.
Like before tonight, would I have said like, I'm a big fan of, like, I barely know anything about it and it's fine. It's whatever. I'm sure there's talent and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I was watching greatness in all its forms, from Bob with his call, like just, it, and Madonna singing and all these top flight dancers doing this.
Yeah.
It was, you've got to be able to appreciate greatness, even if it's not necessarily your thing. What it turned out to be was like, this was so great. It was kind of my thing.
Yeah.
And that's when you're really great, when you're like, I didn't know this was my thing before I got here.
I had a similar experience when I went to see one of the disciples of Madonna. When I saw Lady Gaga at the Garden, when I was in my radio days, I got free tickets. I wouldn't have gone if I hadn't gotten them. I took my sister, who was maybe like 18 at the time. And we went.
Ask one question before you tell them. Yeah. Did she do Bad Romance?
Oh, dude. Yeah. It was the Bad Romance era. It was when she taped
jazz shit.
Oh, dude. It was when she was like at her peak. When she was like, it was like her first time at the Garden, just, and I was just like, yeah, I'll go, whatever.
And she's a New Yorker.
Dude, it was one of the most insane things I've ever seen. It was so good. And I didn't know that she was talented to that point.
Right.
I was like, whatever. She's just like a fucking pop singer, whatever.
Pop singer where the producers are doing most of the work.
It was so insanely good. And I think that I was at the concert that they shot for HBO with a Monsters Ball that they put on there. But it was the same sort of experience where it's like, especially at that time, her audience is very gay, you know?
NJL.
Yeah, right.
Or as I'm calling, as I'm known in the drag community,
Gayle Coven. But it was very like, you know, not quite as ballroomy as I imagine like Vogue is with Bob the Drag Queen, but it was like she had all these, you know, like very flamboyantly gay backup dancers. But on top of that, the other part of the experience was the audience, who was all leathered out, and it was like being in the movie Cruisin' at MSG.
I was gonna say the Blue Oyster in Police Academy,
or that. Yeah, right. I mean, like, but it was awesome, man. And it was another thing where it's like, when you see something like that, and you're not expecting. You're a Madonna fan, so for you, I think that you were probably expecting it a little more. In my case, I didn't know much about Gaga at that time, nor did I even really like her. But it's one of the few times I've gone to a show, and the talent has just won me over in a way where I was just like, this is undeniably one of the most unique and coolest things I've ever seen. There's just no way around it. And you just become a fan after that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I'm going to have to like follow Bob the Drag Queen.
I'm telling you, he's worth it. Okay, I follow him on Instagram. He's great. He's really funny.
But it was like, it was everything. And that's the thing you have to realize is like Madonna. You think she's going to go on tour with like substandard dancers and substandard talent? And no, it's going to be cream of the crop. It's going to be the best. Yeah. She's Madonna. And it was one of those things where I was looking around. Sometimes I just like to take in the ambiance and everything. And oh, and here, just to prove that I'm an ally.
As if we needed more proof.
Yeah. I was in the front row of our section.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was standing like everybody else. And I probably looked like that big warrior in the beginning of Troy that fights Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Where it's like they send out
immediately.
Well, yeah, of course. But they send out their biggest giant. That actor is actually like 7 feet tall and like 400 pounds of muscle.
Right.
But that's what it must have looked like. And then the security guard comes to me about four songs and he goes, hey, would you be okay switching seats with him? Because a lot of people are saying they can't see. And so this guy who was in like seat one, we were in seats 4 and 5. And so I said, yeah, that's fine. So we switched with him, and I kind of even did the extra, which is I almost stood in the aisle because it really didn't affect me. Like, it didn't affect me.
Yeah.
And then all the gay men and their fruit flies with them thanked me. Well, it's the more appropriate term than the old bag hags.
Yes.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a good code switch.
And they were all very thankful. They were like, thank you so much for standing. I was like, hey, come on. We all want to see Madonna.
Yeah.
And so I think GLAAD is going to be awarding me something soon.
Yeah.
For this, for like recognizing
a gentle
my
giant
allyship.
Award. Yeah, yeah. Right.
He could have said, "Get your filthy hands off me," but instead he said, "I'll move." and I want to talk about Gaga now. Actually,
Why don't we take a break?
Yes,
first.
Good call, producer Mike. Hey guys, we're going to take a break. If you don't like Madonna, you've already turned this off, but who knows what we're coming back with after the break. And we're back, Mike.
We are, JL.
I know it's usually your favorite. It's usually your favorite part of the show, but I think we're really humming today. I think maybe the break was not your favorite part of this episode.
Well, because I think that the break spills over into what we're actually talking about. I think we have both just come in here and we're just so high off of the Madonna / Lady Gaga.
There's a lot of gay joy
in
the room right now.
Which I think we'll get to in a second.
Yeah, but. Which is what I saw all last night. But I want to talk about JL joy.
Yes.
Which is the rarest commodity in the world.
Yes, he sure is. Speaking from experience.
But I've got a lot of stuff to tell you guys about, if you don't mind. I got some shows coming up. How about that? I'm in Princeton, New Jersey at Catch a Rising Star, February 2nd and 3rd. I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida, February 9th and 10th. I'm in Henderson, Nevada, just outside of Las Vegas. It's 20-minute drive from Las Vegas. So we can say Las Vegas.
Sure.
For both a live Making Podcasts Great Again and a big stand-up show. March 23rd And I'm in Washington, D.C., June 28th and 29th at the D.C. Comedy Loft. All ticket links are on my website, jlcomedy.com. So go get them now. Don't wait. Please, for God's sakes, don't wait. I cannot impress upon you how stressful it is when everybody's like, yeah, I waited till 5 minutes before the show. Because then all I do is spend every minute up until the show worrying about ticket sales.
Sure.
So then I have like 4 minutes of peace to go, yeah, okay, I'll go over my set now that I'm not going to be broke this weekend. Obviously, if you're a fan of this show or the stuff I do, I encourage you to join my Patreon, patreon.com/JLCovan. A lot of bonus podcasts, a lot of tea. If I can, I'm going to start talking with a lot of tea getting spilt on my Patreon. Videos, etc. And last but certainly not least, my special half blackface. If you haven't rented it or bought it yet, please, please do so. The homepage of my website has all the links for it right there. You don't have to go anywhere. It would mean a lot, and I think you'll really enjoy it. If you like my sense of humor or what I do, I guarantee you will love that special as I do. So that's it. Those are your announcements. Let's get back to Madonna. What did you think, Mike, of how good was I talking about Madonna before the break?
I think that, you know, you expressed the level of joy, which I think is great and also important. I think that we've probably touched on it a little bit on the show before. We had that episode where we talked about rock and roll, really, as like an institution that's kind of fading, and Guns N' Roses, your favorite band, and kind of like that experience. And I do wonder if a day is going to come, and I guess I don't really wonder about it as much as I think it's going to happen, where you're going to lose that type of just megastar pop culture icon who performs for a stadium of people. We have Taylor Swift and Beyonce, and I don't think that's going away anytime soon, but like Madonna is, truthfully, kind of, she belongs to like an era that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Because Madonna was also like, she came up in New York, and she was she had like the path of a struggling musician in New York until she like hit it, you know?
She put the pop game in a chokehold, to paraphrase 50 Cent.
Yeah, right. Like, she spent the early 80s, you know, like doing gigs in New York, and I heard David Lee Roth talk about this once. It might have been on some podcast, I can't remember, but he was talking about the early days of Van Halen before they were obviously like a big band, when they were, I guess, young enough where they were just kind of gigging, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, he's like, because of shows like American Idol and kind of like the instant gratification of the way we do things now, just in general, you miss out, if you're a musician or a band, on the years of just like learning how to be in an awesome band. Mm-hmm. Where those guys you'd play like a fucking supper club at, you know, I sound 100 years old, but you'd play a nightclub or something, and you'd have to play for 2 hours. So you didn't have 2 hours to fill with your own music. So all of a sudden you learned how to play all these cover songs, and right, you just had to fill the 2 hours as a band. And that turns you into an awesome band. And then when it's time to go, you know, when you become Van Halen or the E Street Band or something like that, you have these chops. And like Madonna's like that. I think Gaga probably had
also,
a lot of that too.
Also, if you're the E Street Band, it helps to find a guy named Bruce Springsteen to join you.
It does, but they're like one of the awesome. Have you seen Bruce live?
No.
Dude, one of the things about seeing him live that's awesome is he will play for 3 hours, but they'll also like, he'll go into the crowd and pull out signs. People will just write songs, not his songs. They'll write like, you know, like Hound Dog on a sign, and he'll just pick out songs that he likes. And they'll just play it. Yeah. I've seen him do like weird songs that I like ZZ Top songs. They just pick it out.
I want to tell you about a girl named Mary. She's got legs. She knows how to use them. 2, 3, 4.
But you get that skill by being in like a, you know, like a bar band, basically. And right, I think that there's a lot of, as much as I love somebody like Dua Lipa or acts like that now, I guess, it just doesn't seem like there's the same sort of like road to becoming somebody that could do a show like that.
Well, I mean, I hate to drag this to the depths of hell known as stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But that is exactly...
It's bound to happen.
That is exactly what's sort... That's sort of on a smaller scale. If you elevate TikTok and things like that, then you're going to miss out on the people who've acquired those unique skills and the unique experiences that kind of formed for generations what a stand-up comic was.
Right.
And I don't think for the better. I don't think like TikTok is like the way, the good way forward. It's like, oh, we found a better way. No, you found an easier or quicker way.
Yeah.
Not a better way. But I was also going to, I made a joke, Gay Joy, but I did, when I was in the lounge waiting for Madonna, that was when I was probably at my most disgusted because I was just soaking in all the people who looked like they wanted Madonna to look at them.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is that? What is that outfit? Or a lot, you know, just a lot of people like, we've made it, we're here. And I just stood like in a corner with Laura, like, this is pretty cool, right?
Yeah, right.
And I think that's important. I sometimes wonder about super rich people. Like, and she said, well, you always have to appreciate this. I go, I don't know. If you can always get front row seats to everything you want,
right,
it has to erode it a little bit. Whereas for me, it's like, this is a big deal.
Right.
I'm glad I could afford it. I'm glad I could do it. But it's, this is, every step of this is fucking cool. Like being in the Delta Lounge, I'm sure it becomes old habit to some, but my first time and like being that close to like Madonna in this big grand show, it was all just like, wow, what a fun experience.
Yeah.
But what I noticed is once I got out into the crowd, it was obviously, I don't know the percentage of gay men that were at this show.
It's probably high.
But it was definitely higher than the last Rangers game I went to.
Yes, right. I would agree
with
that.
Although if you listen to the crowd at a Ranger game, you'd think there were thousands of gay men around based on the language.
They're saying the F word a lot.
Based on the language, you're like, what is this, a gay pride parade?
Right.
Oh, you're just a bigot. Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
But it was not that, when you looked around, I like to just sometimes look around, soak up everything about it.
It's a moment, yeah.
And most, if I take out my camera, it's almost always because I thought of a good joke.
Yeah.
Like to write up or say later, because I want to kind of experience the show. But I did notice this kind of overwhelming positivity and like, you know, lots of gay men, you can say, like, not like look at me enjoyment, like, oh, aren't I, like, which I feel like if you look at like straight women at concerts, it will often become a,
right,
aren't I sexy?
Yeah.
Like, I remember we went to see, I think, Chris Cornell at the Beacon before he passed away and or something. And this woman, it was like, why is she making it about her? Like, she would get up and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop, lady.
Yeah.
Whereas they didn't feel like that. It felt like this exuberant collective joy at like an icon, an idol, an ally killing it on stage.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see because it was like, you know, I've said in a blog that Fish fans, for all their filth, are some of the least cell phone using people I've ever seen at a show.
Well, because I was going to say the two
because
crowds,
they want to be in it. They want to be in the show. The point is you're at the show.
Yeah.
Not look at me, I'm at the show, because Fish fans are going to be at the show. They don't, who are you bragging to? The point of being a Fish fan is we go to the show to experience it.
The two crowds that I was going to say, I think, are most likely to do that. I definitely feel the same way that you felt about gay crowds. I think like Gaga was a little while ago, so it was like phone culture, but not to the degree that it is now.
Right.
But it's like the gays, and you know what other audience is into very much being in the moment? Trash. I'll tell you, one of the moments,
I only got 3 minutes left on my cell phone plan. Can't waste it capturing this.
One of the shows that I remember the most was Bon Jovi at MetLife when I was 20.
Uh-huh.
And it was because I was just entrenched with so much New Jersey white trash that you just couldn't not be a part of the moment. There was this, I think we've talked about this before.
A lot of Tommies and Ginas in the crowd.
Dude, there is this woman. I was 20. This woman had to be 45.
Was this the one where you were hit on by like some
not
cougar?
Just hit on. Hit on would have been like a step up.
I fucked her.
No, she
in the ass.
She was like, I was like very muscular at the time, and I was wearing a tank top. It was July, I think. I was like, I had like my traps and my arms and everything out. And this like 45-year-old woman who just was a disaster, hammered, like just looked like shit. I mean, you know, I think as a goof, I was kind of like dancing with her, you know, and then I just remember she like wrapped her arm around like under my chin, like my neck, to kind of, you know, that thing that you do when you're like in front of a guy. Well, this is going to be like a weird thing to say, but like women will do this thing where they like wrap their arm under your neck and then like pat your head kind of thing, like yeah, stroke
women,
your hair.
Women can barely reach my torso.
Well, maybe not you. But this woman was just like
that's
holding
the way I like it.
She was like holding my head and like rubbing my head, my hair, and I was just like, you gotta get away. And she kept asking me if I had a cigarette. She was like, I need a cigarette. Do you have a smoke? I was like, lady, get away from
She's
me.
She's the first woman to ever get. She was like a crackhead, but just for easily accessible cigarettes.
Oh, dude, she just
I
was
suck
like
your dick for a Marlboro.
She was just single and like well past her. She probably was like hot in the '80s when Bon Jovi was like his coolest,
right?
And was just like trying to kind of like recapture that moment. It was very inappropriate looking back at it. Like looking back at it, I was like, I was really young. And
her
this woman was just
probably
like, fuck
filming
it.
You from like three seats away.
There was no husband. Trust me.
Well, but, if you're a fan of the show, lady, come on as a guest. Mike misses you.
She's 55 now and she's still smoking.
Oh, she's right in my range. But yeah, this show was, I forget what the other thing I wanted to talk about.
Gaga.
Huh?
Gaga?
Oh, well, I remember being in a bar, my favorite bar. It was routinely considered the douchiest bar in New York City, Joshua Tree in Murray Hill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I loved that bar. And not because I engaged with any of the trash, although my one and only bar fight was in that bar, mm-hmm. defending the bartender.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm an ally of all those who need help. I'm like a superhero. But I remember they usually played 80s music, but Bad Romance came on. And I had heard it on MTV and like in my headphones, but on a pulsating bass in a bar, like that song went up to another level for me where I was like, oh my God, I got to hear that live. But yeah. Now it feels like I'll never hear that. Like I feel like Gaga, maybe if she ever does the 20-year anniversary of Poker Face, but like she's Scooby-Dee-Doobing with her jazz. And like
Bad Romance live was unbelievable.
I'm sure.
It was awesome.
But here's my one fear.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who like songs have this fear sometimes, which is like, please don't do the, I'm only going to give you one hardcore verse. I'm going to start with the no instruments. Like,
yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I
right?
do. But
like,
when I saw
can you
it
not
live,
do that version, Lady Gaga, I paid $500 for these seats. Do the fucking song.
Right. Yeah. It's like Springsteen, the way he does No Surrender on the live album, on the big live album, that's like the quadruple live album. Mm-hmm. He does it like with just him. Acoustic. It's just like, this is not what I want. Yeah. I want to hear little Steven. I want to hear Clarence. I do want to hear the boys. Yeah.
This is my impression of Steve Van Sant just right on the mic about to make out with him. When I remember seeing The Rising and I was like, are they going to make out? Yeah. It's getting very close.
Yeah.
Follows me on Twitter, by the way. Steven Van Sant.
I'm telling you, when she did Bad Romance, when I saw it live, that was one of the true like memorable moments of my concert going life. It was awesome.
No, I have like there are certain things that are like, I don't want to call them, I don't want to elevate them to bucket list, but Gaga would be one I would love to see her live.
Incredible, man. Honestly.
I'd love REM to get back together. They have a very good catalog. They're never getting back together. And they've earned their retirement and they were a huge band for a long time, but I'd love to go see them do fucking like 20 greatest hits.
Yeah.
And then Tom Petty, I remember I didn't have a lot of money when he was on his final tour, and I knew Laura was a big fan and I was a fan. But they were just a little too much. I was like, do I like Tom Petty $250 tickets? I just spent that on Guns N' Roses, my favorite band. I don't have it to be like at the time. And then he passed away. And I was like, I guess I should have gotten those tickets.
I saw Prince before he died. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. That was one of the all-time greats for me. But this is the thing, man. We're getting to a place where like I'm really running out of names. And I feel it's a bummer. I used to love going to concerts. It was
Lil
one of my
Dookie,
favorite things.
Young Duck.
None of those guys.
Lil Duck Young.
Hip hop's horrible live.
No, that's what I'm saying. None of those people I just mentioned are rappers.
Oh, no, I know. I know.
They're just random names I threw together. But I still stand by my joke of how is Yo-Yo Ma not a 90s rapper? He was a cellist. But yeah, we're not, I guess we're just going to do this week. And I hope people have at least enjoyed this journey. But the topic I wanted to get to is like a big topic. So it's not, I mean, we're not going to do a Bruce Springsteen 4-album podcast today.
No.
2, 3, 4 discs.
Classic album.
Yeah, you know, I'll show my, he's like a character now in a way. It's just,
you know what though? He doesn't do enough publicly that I feel like it's like,
oh, I mean, every time I hear him speak, I'm like, show me the other hill. Where are you going? I'm doing a podcast. And I had to say, when him and Obama did a podcast,
we talked about this on my show a while, like years ago.
Okay. Well, yeah. Oh, excuse me.
No, I'm just saying, I remember we talking to you about it though.
I was just like,
it wasn't good.
And I was just like, what a strength. Like, oh no, I remember, I think we talked about Obama where I was like,
yeah,
I don't want you doing a podcast.
It's ridiculous. Like, him and his new life of being in Hollywood is,
I don't
just
want you being
insufferable.
Content creator.
It's the worst, man. I don't know why he's. And, I mean, I know why he's doing this, but good God,
and trust me, he is very fortunate to be in the Trump era where there, as long as you're making an honest dollar, you will never look bad compared to what's come after you.
Right.
But I'm just like, less is more. I mean, he was so conscious. He was so conscious as president of his legacy.
Yeah.
Understandably. And it's not that he's doing anything bad, but I'm just kind of like, to me, I don't even mind that he has a production company. It's like, hey, we're going to put out.
I do.
No. And I'm not saying that you can't. I'm saying where my line is, though I understand being like, I don't need the president to have a production company.
Yeah.
But the podcast with Springsteen was where I was like, that for me is a step too far.
Yeah, right.
And honestly, for both of you, Bruce, you sold your catalog for $300 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got some other things I need to say to the president 45 minutes a week.
It's also so funny that I know.
Renegades.
I know how podcasts get produced, and I just know that this happened because they were just like, Obama was putting his Spotify deal in place and was just like, you know, what if I talk to Bruce Springsteen for like 4 hours and then you guys cut it up into something.
I was thinking, because I've not done as well as I wanted to with working class whites, that I would talk to a guy worth $400 million that a lot of Trump supporters no longer like. I'm down with that, Mr. Bruce. Just talk to, you know, working men out there driving their, you know, can hardly afford their Porsches and their Lamborghinis anymore. We got to do something for the working man. But the point of this episode, I guess, it's a break. I mean, Madonna is a good title.
Yeah.
I think. But it's for everybody who has shit on her. You broke jealous bitches. Obviously, you can't afford tickets. There was a lawsuit. Did you hear about this?
I don't know what you're about to say.
In Brooklyn, she came out like 2 hours late. Although the whole 2 hours late thing is a little weird, because I don't consider not coming out at 8:30 for a concert as late.
Yeah.
9:30 is where we start the clock on where are you? Because most concerts have an opening act and a pause and whatever. But she came out at like 10:45. Mm-hmm. So two guys, I think, sued her, you know, because they had to get up early for work the next day, and it really impacted their day. And I thought, you're a disgrace.
Yeah.
And if you were a member of my family, I would never talk to you again.
Yeah.
But the amount of people online, when I commented on it, I was like, wow, what a bunch of jealous turds who were like, I think you should, I support them. I wish artists were held accountable for this. I'm like, for starting a show late?
So stupid.
Are you not familiar with the history of music? I'm not saying it's okay, but boy, is this where we're at now?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a parody, or that's like an Onion article about like fragile millennials or something. But everybody in the comments was like piling on, like, yeah, and she stinks now. And I was just like, wow, a lot of jealousy here from the litigation heroes.
Yeah.
And they were like, jealous of what? And they were like, one woman was like, you try showing up to work 3 hours late and see if you have a job. And I go, oh, I'm not Madonna, one of the five biggest music stars of the last 50 years.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing
not the same thing.
It's called talent and wealth privilege.
Right.
What?
Right.
And as my brother, when I told him about this, he was like, well, she is the boss.
Yes.
Like, she doesn't work for anybody.
Yes.
Everybody works for her. She is the boss.
Yeah.
So she can show up to work late.
Yes.
It's hers.
1,000%.
Right. And it was like, oh, good point for my brother. There
it's
you go.
Such a horrible, horrible point for somebody to say,
no,
to compare
projection.
It to a regular job.
That's
are you
projection
insane?
Of like, I'm jealous that this, you know, it's the same thing in terms of with the athletes, although there's no racial component here, obviously.
Yeah.
But a kind of, well, if I did that, well, you can't.
Right. Yeah. It's a non-starter.
Next
question. We don't even have to talk about it.
Right. Well, Duncan, you're right, because, ma'am, Dunkin' Donuts will get by
right.
without you.
Right.
Madonna concerts won't work without Madonna.
Yep.
But it was, you know, seeing people just doing different things and with the you know, trashing her. And I felt a little bad when she had gotten like the butt implants and stuff. And it was tough because Madonna is one of those figures that you sort of expect to age, if not gracefully, strongly, if I don't know what the word is, or proudly. Like, I am who I am. If she wants to look good, she'll get some surgeries. If she isn't, she's like, fuck you. I've been a sex icon for 40 years. I can do whatever I want. But she looks good. Like, I don't even, like, obviously, this is why I guess people probably curate their images so much, because it's like one bad photo and it can like smear you. But she's still fucking got it, like, in every way. And I'm so glad I went to the show, and I was glad I could get it for Laura, because, man, she is a very even keel person, but she fucking loved this show. And it was like, it felt good. And it was. Whatever many thousands of people just in the moment in like joy and witnessing just a great show. So if you're not broke, I recommend you go see. No, it's expensive, of course, but it's like, I never mind the price of something if it delivers. Like, this is one of those things where I'm never going to think about how expensive these tickets were again.
Yeah.
All I will think about was, I'm so glad I went to the show.
Yeah. So, I agree, man.
On that note, I guess everybody is like, well, we still got comedy talk. We still have Mike's favorite part, and this is a good one. But yeah, thank you, Madonna. And just on a completely callous alpha male note.
Yeah.
Yes, I still would, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, not even a question.
That's A-Rod did. Like,
huh?
Didn't stop A-Rod.
And here's the thing. I knew, but A-Rod always likes personal trainer women.
Yeah.
Like, that's his vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, when Cameron Diaz started working, like dating him, she got buff.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of the scene in Scary Movie where Sean Wayans is like telling his girlfriend to put on the football uniform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, what? What's this about? He's like, take it, Tommy. A-Rod likes his fit.
Yeah. J-Lo.
J-Lo's hot. J-Lo's. But Cameron Diaz, it was like, she's fine in her thin white woman way.
Yeah.
Why are you transforming her into muscled up?
Well.
No, but type. She, during one point in the concert, there were a bunch of like faces coming up on the screens. And I was like, Warren Beatty, Sean Penn, but I don't know if Sean, I think Sean Penn, but I was like, A-Rod. I was like,
oh, I forgot about Warren Beatty. Yeah.
I was like, are these the guys she fucked?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are the guys she fucked. Like, I was like, I figured it out. I figured out the Matrix, the Da Vinci Code. I unlocked it. These are all dicks. And Warren Beatty, man, that's got to feel great when you're like, it's 1990. You're like, you're getting old already, but you're an icon of dicking.
Yeah.
And like, Madonna is not, this is like a prayer. Madonna is in a movie with you. And it's like, oh, fuck you, Warren Beatty.
It's
like,
peak Madonna hotness, I think. Yeah.
And not peak Warren Beatty. That's
no.
That's elite.
Well, what's peak Warren Beatty? Like,
probably 70s. You're so vain.
No.
Think 60s.
No, I was going to say 80s.
Oh.
Like Reds? I was watching Reds
last
night.
That's like 81.
Night. Yeah, right.
That's like 81. But I think he was just dicking everything.
Yeah.
You know. But, he, like, I mean, you're so vain. Somebody said that they thought it was about him.
I've heard Mick Jagger. I've also heard David Geffen.
I'm sorry. No, it's David Geffen.
Okay.
It is David Geffen.
Yeah.
But I liked it being about Warren Beatty because it's a real great song.
So, yeah.
It's a tremendous lyrically, like, but David
One
Geffen,
of the great musical mysteries of all time.
But isn't David Geffen gay?
Well, he is, but he also, David Geffen had, do you ever watch that doc on him?
No.
He had a stretch where he was married to Cher.
Oh.
It's a very
Do
weird thing.
Do you believe in life after your husband's gay?
I don't know. He is. I think he's maybe Mount he's Rushmore bi,
of,
but
Mount Rushmore of autotune. I've got Casey, JoJo, T-Pain, Cher. Nobody else is getting on the Mount Rushmore of autotune, right?
Kanye.
But I feel like he came later. I feel like you think who's Kanye bumping off? Because even though he used a lot of autotune, I feel like Casey and JoJo and Cher were like founding fathers.
Well,
of
who
auto-tune.
Did you say? Who's
and
that?
T-Pain.
Wait, who's the list again?
Casey. I'm giving. Well, if you want to include Kanye, you could go Casey and JoJo have to share a face.
Yeah.
But I'm giving them their own faces.
Okay.
Casey, JoJo, T-Pain, Cher.
Lil Wayne also. Wayne also is. I would think rappers.
But
primarily.
I feel like all the people I'm naming like predate the ones you're telling. Like I'm going. Maybe I should say founding fathers and mothers. Of,
maybe because yeah,
auto-tune.
I don't. I think that those. I think
Kanye used it a lot.
Kanye and Lil Wayne both are just like
all right,
like auto-tune freaks.
All right. Anyway. What were we talking about right before then? I know we have to take one last break, but there was I interrupted myself as I often do.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty. But
and
yeah,
David Geffen.
Like peak Madonna. Like. Peak Madonna, and that's just boy oh boy. But yeah, it was all the oh and David Geffen, right? You're So Vain, because You're So Vain doesn't sound as cool if it's just like, oh, he was just actually gay.
No, yeah, I I think it's like to
she
me
to
it was always
school,
cool if it was
Carly
Mick Jagger.
Went to my high school.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Riverdale Country School.
I didn't know she was a New Yorker. Very hot, by the way. Underrated.
Well, and now Steven Tyler looks like her.
A little bit, yeah. She has a huge mouth.
Yeah. Great joke by Adam Carolla, and then we'll go to break. But Madonna, like, putting up all her... I thought that was like, classic Madonna move. It's like, here are the dudes I fucked. If you want to make an issue about...
Was Rodman on there?
I didn't catch all... There were so many dicks flying up on the screen. I was like, what the... Is this the AIDS quilt?
What is this?
Adam Carolla, and then we'll go to... Final break. Great joke. He said, I used to have a really good Adam Carolla. When you got a woman, you don't want a woman with like a mouth like Sandra Bernhard, where it's like she's going, I can get the balls in there too and anything else. I can also eat a chicken wing while I'm blowing you. You want like a Bernadette Peters that makes your cock look fucking huge. And when I think of Carly Simon, I think of that joke where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need a small... it's like Jaws. It's the opposite of Jaws. We're going to need a smaller mouth.
It is a big mouth. Yeah. I'm into it, though.
On that note, one more break. Comedy Talk coming after this.
And now, from the Slickback Studios newsroom in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, here is Scott Pelley with a Rain on Your Parade special report.
Welcome back to another installment of Punching Down with JL. This week, JL posted a video on YouTube in which he titled it Ron DeSantis Quits Presidential Race. And a fan wrote in reply, he didn't quit. What he did was suspend his campaign.
Oof.
Not the same thing as quitting. JL?
I gotta say, that's brutal. That might be the worst one we've had. Even I felt that. I was like, oh, God.
Come on, man. Allow me to ignore the algorithm of YouTube and properly define what Ron DeSantis did. Ron DeSantis suspends his campaign for because the whole, and it was like the person was just like, that's not necessarily a punch down because they weren't trying to make a joke.
That's just
but
like,
it deserved recognition for just being like, I know what he did.
Yeah. Right.
I'm making a YouTube video as Ron DeSantis wearing giant white galoshes.
Right.
I'm trying to make a title that will like punch.
How much of a jerk off do you really need to be to get a comment in like that fucking unhelpful? Well, it's just
now. Maybe you're now. Maybe you're seeing where I was pre-show when I was complaining about certain things.
I get it. It's just, you know.
Oh boy, he put the brakes on that one. He sensed an avalanche coming. We'll move on.
At some point, we have to wrap this.
I watched a special on Netflix yesterday, as of this taping.
Yeah.
I read an article in the New Yorker about it, and I know this person, Jacqueline Novak. She has a one-woman show called Get on Your Knees. It was very critically acclaimed. It ran at a small theater, I think, in New York for a while. Mike Birbiglia was involved, mm-hmm. Because if you do a one-man show, it's one-man show law. Right. Birbiglia or Leguizamo have to be involved.
Right.
It's just, I didn't make the one-man show law. That's just what it is.
You look in the mirror and you say Birbiglia three times. And he shows up,
right?
Like the Candyman.
Or you make a movie with low Latino characters, and then Leguizamo shows up, and you do a one man show with him. So I was very curious about this. A little history: I beat Jacqueline Novak in a contest in 2004 at the DC Improv. She was a senior, I believe, at Georgetown undergrad, and I was a third year law student at Georgetown. They allowed me to compete in the funniest college student in DC. And I went to them and I said, I'm a law student. Can I qualify for the college student? They said, sure. Little do they know they were letting a comedic monster into the contest. I took first, she took second. But as we sit here now, I in Slickback Studios talking to a definitively bored Mike, talking about how I just sat on my couch and watched Jacqueline Novak's Netflix special. I clearly peaked early. I think everybody can agree with that. I peaked early with that 2004 win at the DC Improv. Now, it might have been 2003. I might have really peaked early. It was either late 03 or early 04. But I watched this show, Get on Your Knees, and I wasn't expecting stand-up, but I guess I kind of was. But it is definitively a one-woman show. It is not stand-up. It is... relentless is how I would describe it. And I by the end of it, and I don't want to be insulting, because a lot of people love this thing. They think it's high art. They think it's really hilarious. I was just exhausted. Mm-hmm. Like, it was an impressive performance of stamina, in my opinion, by her, because it is 90 minutes of kind of fast paced, never pausing recapping of her life, and very heavy kind of English major references in it. Some looks, some mugging that I was like, either that's intentional or that's self-knowing. And I couldn't really decipher whether it was like, or like, wink, wink, I know what I'm doing is one man showy. Mm-hmm. For a lot of it, I felt like she should have had a British accent. It was giving off of that. It was giving
Gatsby?
High Britain.
Okay.
You know, just kind yeah. of like, I expect somebody to be like, same way, need to go on my get on my knees, right? I'm painting a picture for you. I'm getting on my knees. And this chap says to me, I put the balls in your mouth, Dan. And I was like, put the balls in my mouth. What is you saying to me? And it just had this vibe of like, I felt like I was watching an English thing that people have told me is hilarious, but I'm like, I don't quite get it.
Yeah,
I'm exhausted. It's like a relentless performance. So when it ended, I was just like, I had a couple of laughs late in the show, but I was just like, I don't think this is for me. And it's weird because it shouldn't be not for me or for me. But I just, by the end of it, I was just like, I don't dig it and I don't get it. I don't get, because this was like, when I say this isn't just some random, this was like critically acclaimed, like written up everywhere. I mean, we went from one woman show at a small theater to Netflix, like a Netflix special of the week. So as you can tell, I'm trying not to be mean, because there's a lot of work that went into it.
First time?
A little bit. But I just, it was, yeah, I by the end of it, I was like, I'm going to take a nap. Because it was, and it wasn't, if anybody's worried, I mean, check it out if you've read about it and are interested. You might have different tastes than me, probably wrong. But it was just, I didn't find it funny. Like that was, it's like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it felt like the audience was like in on it and I wasn't. Like... like they already knew it was a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're like down for the thing. And that's what I would say the energy I had from the Madonna show was the opposite, where it was like, it looked like everybody was just there because like, we're at Madonna, we're in the cool place. But then when you got out there, the energy was so organic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. Watch it for yourself. Let me know what you think. But I'm obviously not I make a lot of jokes about one person shows. I've often said, if you ever see me doing a one man show, know that I'm either going to die or I've already died on the inside.
Yeah.
Because you will never see me do a one man show. That's a pledge. They're not for me. But if you like one person shows, give it a try and let me know what you think. But I did not care for it. And I was very surprised because of how well received it was. But yeah, I laughed twice in 94 minutes. So, yeah, I think I needed the Madonna show after it.
Cleansing.
Yeah, to lift me up like a prayer.
Yeah.
When you see a one woman show you don't like and you want to be happy, go watch Bob the Drag Queen and he'll do the emceeing for Madonna, who I'd still fuck, though she's a senior citizen. Just like a slut, I will stick it in her butt.
Why
did I take it there?
We don't like that word.
That was me just trying to find words that rhyme. I know.
Because it's a derogatory.
I thought it was only derogatory if you're shame. What if
that is slut shame?
What if I'm slut lifting?
No, it's one of those words that I think like. It's sort of appropriate if women use it for themselves. Like, look at me, I'm such a slut. But we shouldn't be calling
them. Oh, it's the whore N word.
Kind of. Not quite, but yeah. Yeah.
Can I call them whores?
No.
Okay, unloved women.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay, fine.
I like that more than whores and sluts.
Slut and butt only came out of my mouth because I was searching for a rhyme. All women on this show.
Yes, we do.
Even the ugly ones.
That's true.
I think on that empowering note, I mean, it's been an hour of.
I'd say it's time to wrap
empowering.
It.
Empowering. Some men, you might have some podcasters do an hour of power. We do an hour of empower.
That's right.
So thank you, Madonna. If you watch the show, thank you, Bob the Drag Queen. Thank you. Thank you, the people at MSG who made for a great night, a collectively great night. And, yeah, that's it. So I will see you next Tuesday.